announcements then, except to pray for good weather on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday is what we're praying for. And then remember, of course, the birthday of Kathy Furnett is tomorrow, and she's getting a birthday present of about 17 inches of snow, you know. So, and then Rourke is also getting a little bit older, and so pray for him. And we will, and also if you'll notice, okay, you notice you're not here. If you were here this morning and had a bulletin, we have our future address. I guess it's not future anymore. It is our address. And it's 1020 Gravelly Gully Circle, Conway, South Carolina, 29526. And that's in the bulletin. And we wanted you to have that. All right, let's open a word of prayer, and then we'll look at the worthy walk as we look through Scripture by means of the Spirit of God. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we then thank you for the day you've given to us. Thank you for the time we have together tonight, the few that are here, and then the those that are watching online. Thank you for technology, Lord, that in times like this, we can still sound out, trump out the message. And I pray those that listen, even those that might come by and have viewed that, they want to listen longer, and they'll listen to the truth of your word. Now, Lord, as we look at a very important truth of walking worthy before you, that we might take these to heart and look what God has for us, what you have for us as we walk like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you want to start out, and most of them I have on the screen, I will have verses on the screen, but if you want to start out, you'll see that in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, the Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now, sometimes we miss the verse before that. Look what the verse before that says. "But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed ye do not consume one another." In fact, let's look, go back even farther, the context, verse 13. "For brethren, you've been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh," or the base of that mean occasion means base of operation, "but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed, you don't consume another." Saying, hey, don't be arguing. Don't be causing disunity. He says, then he says, "But here's what you do. You walk in the Spirit, and you will not bark at one another. You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And as it says, walk in the Spirit, there, I think a better translation from the original would be walk by means of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is what gives us the power, enables us to do this, and then he gives us a responsibility to do it, that we want to do it. And so this evening, as we look at it, we've got to first of all realize that believers have a grave responsibility to walk in by the Spirit. So how do we walk by means of the Spirit? We first must learn what Scripture means by the word walk. And then we can know how to walk by the Spirit. And this evening we're going to go through scriptures that tell us how of a walk that we are responsible for, that we have by means of the Spirit. The word walk is used 93 times in the New Testament. It has the idea of conduct, behavior, lifestyle. Literally it means to walk about, thus to conduct oneself, in other words, to order one's behavior. It'd be a day-by-day living. It'd be a daily conduct. So practically, it would refer to the practical daily life of the believer. When it says you walk in the Spirit, it's how you conduct yourself. So you are to conduct yourself in the Spirit, by means of the Spirit, as you go by every hour, every moment of the day. And so we're going to look this evening briefly at the specifics of our walk, the standard of our walk, and the sufficiency of our walk as believers. And so I think we'll see this truth very vividly. So, but first of all, as we look at it, let's look at first of all where it says the worthy walk. It says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God. So there's a command, an obligation we have to walk worthy of the Lord in order to please him. So we've got to realize as this word walk, we have the newness of it. Also then in 1 Thessalonians 2:12, it says that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and unique excellence. So to live implies the continuity of conduct. A worthy life is a life that is appropriate or suitable. It's the power of our words can be multiplied only the character of our life, only if our character of our lives is consistent with the gospel. Appropriateness, suitableness, that we might live as God's called us, live in a manner of appropriateness to the call, focusing on the on-calling call that anticipates the future, as one man put it, the dawning of age to come. And so we see, we can rise two questions from it. Number one, what does it mean to then be worthy? Since it says that you walk worthy of the Lord, who hath called you, what does it mean to be worthy, first of all? And then we'll look at what does it mean to walk worthy. Put those two words that we just talked about, conduct, and put it together with worthy. Because the word worthy here is a word that the root meaning is a balancing the scales. It's having the weight of. In other words, it's what is on one side of the scale should be equal in weight to what's on the other. When this word worthy is used, and years ago, I taught this principle, I know, over 10 probably years ago, maybe even 15, but 10, at least 10, 12, I don't know. But I put a little scale on the side here that you used for the truth crackers. You know, I put two things on the side, and I put books on one side to show what, just for the weighting it down. And then what I did is I got other books, and I put the name on it of different character traits of Christ, or in our walk of fruit of the Spirit. And so I'd say love, for instance, joy, and I'd have that named on the book, and I'd put it in there. And what would happen to the scale as I kept putting it in there, what would happen? It'd balance it out, and so it'd be even. That's the idea of this worthy. It's a scale that's balanced. It's what's on one side of the scale is equal to what's on the other side. So anything that was expected to correspond, in other words, to something else. Another way to put it would be equal worth or weight. In other words, befitting that's suitable to God. I guess you could say this. It would be an agreement between your faith and conduct. There was a close connection between Christian faith and life. Acceptance of the gospel message was carried with an obligation to live a consistent message in life. So what does it mean then to walk worthy? You are to see to it that your practice, what you practice what you preach, that your experience measures up to your standing in grace. In other words, what is on one side of the scale? You know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, and he's sanctifying you. Then on that other side, it should be equal to who he is. Your walk, your worthy walk, conduct should be worthy. Your conduct should balance out what you are in your position in Christ. And so as one man put it this way, the believer who walks in a manner worthy of the calling with which he has been called is one whose daily living corresponds to his high position as a child of God and fellow heir with Jesus Christ. His practical living matches his spiritual position. In other words, let your practice match your position. Walk in accord for who you are, John MacArthur said. Walk in accord for who you are. So when you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have a new position in Christ. And aren't you glad? He saved you. He's given you, he's radically changed you. And so as he is doing a good work in you, what is on the other side of that scale must match that. That's why we know God's word. That's why we say, okay, and we have the Spirit of God, the conviction is there, and we get it right and go from there. And so we walk in accord with who we are in Christ. As Christ walked, we walk. And so as we look at this worthy walk, he also tells us then through Scripture many times in many verses we're going to look at this evening briefly as we look at many truths about a worthy walk, how we are to walk. In other words, we're going to look at the specifics of a worthy walk. And so what does a worthy walk look like? And we're going to give you several specifics on what this worthy walk looks like. We are commanded to walk worthy. This is what it looks like. This is the kind of walk we must have, because all of these things are on the other side of the scale, because they all are the very attributes of the character of God. So they're already there. Your position in Christ are there. And now this is what it should look like in your life. Number one, walk in humility. Ephesians 4, 1 and 2 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. There's that position. And then it says how you do it. It gives you four things. Walk with lowliness. There's the humility. Meekness. You've got to be humble to walk meekness. You've got to be humble in long-suffering, and you've got to be humble in forbearing one another in love. So in other words, the truth of the matter is, if you walk in humility, what we are doing is letting God be God. All right, let's say we don't like snow. All right, let's just say that. We don't like snow. And I always loved snow. You know, when I was at the camp, I had a snowmobile, and we loved snow. Of course, that was our livelihood in the wintertime. This would be great. But as you get older in different things, you really don't care as much about it. And then you've shoveled enough. But you know something? Let's just say, and I don't do this, but I would hate snow. How did we get this snow? Could God have stopped the snow? Is God in control of the weather? I believe with my whole heart. So we need to let God be God. That's being humble. Okay, I don't, but when you say, I don't like it, and I'm all mad now, and I'm, that's being self-centered. That's not being humble. That's not being meek, long-suffering, forbearing one another. In other words, in the Greek culture, humility was thought of as a vice. And we realize that the very trait, but humility becomes with a proper self-awareness. When our self-awareness is that we're pretty good, we don't deserve this, check out your humility. It's probably not there. Or you have to work a little more on it. Because as you let God be God, humility begins with a proper self-awareness by which a man becomes conscious of his own unworthiness. And it always begins with an honest and unretouched view, as a man says, of oneself. Humility involves God or Christ awareness. And in this verse, here's what humility gives birth to. First of all, humility gives birth to gentleness. Notice it is with all lowliness and meekness. And then gentleness gives birth to patience. Patience, that endurance, that long suffering towards people, then patience gives birth to forbearance love, forbearing love. And all four of these characteristics preserve the unity of the Spirit of God in peace. So our first, what has to be on that one side, it's got to be humility. Number two, we need to walk in purity. Romans 13:3 says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. It tells us simply that we are to walk in purity. Positively, we see, let us walk honestly as in the day. What he's saying, as in the day where everyone sees you. A lot of stuff goes on when? At night. when you always hear these things that are going on, I know when you watch athletics and these guys are messing up or something happens, when does it always happen? Yeah, in the middle of the night and it's dark. And so we might realize positively, it says, walk honestly as in the day. In other words, show that purity. Because why is the reference maybe to purity here? Because it says not, and then it goes negatively, not in rioting and drunkenness. In other words, not in frolicking fellows. And this was used of feasts and drinking parties at night. Not in those kind of things. Don't walk that way. Not in chambering and wantonness. That would be impurities, unlawful relationships, sensual relationships, unbridled. No restraints is what unwantedness means. And then number three, it says, no strife or envies, in discord. In other words, bringing contention, quarreling, arguing, setting something you don't have and you desire for and envying. So you bring people to your own level. That's walking honestly, walking purity, it says. Number three. Walk in integrity. Walk in integrity, which really goes a lot along with this purity. But notice what it says in 2 Corinthians 4:2. But having renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, then it says, not walking in craftiness or deceitfulness, and not handling the word of God deceitfully. Not only you're walking, and notice where, here's the word walk. Every one of these, you'll see the word walk. It says, don't walk in craftiness. Try to get away there. No, be an integrity and have integrity with the Word of God. Don't just try to make the Word of God say something you want it to. That's our nature. The Word of God tells us it's fact. It's right there. And don't you show integrity. It says, don't handle the word deceitfully. But what do? Manifesting of truth, commending ourselves in every conscience in the sight of God. Have integrity. Be whole. And then it says in 1 Thessalonians 4:12, that you might walk honestly toward them that are without, that you may lack nothing. You have integrity. Look at the blessing of it. You and I, to have a worthy walk, what needs to go on this side again is integrity. What's the next thing we need to walk in that as our position in Christ to level out that balance, those weights? That would be walk in contentment. 1 Corinthians 7:17 says, but as God has distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk. All right? As he's distributed to every man, so let him walk, and so ordain I to all the churches. So how do you say that that's contentment? Well, Paul's dealing in 1 Corinthians 7 with marital issues, racial issues, social status. And he makes a far-reaching point that these circumstances are what the Lord, in his purposes, assign to each Christian. So in Paul's views, he says, my station in life is under the sovereign and gracious direction of God. So what God's distributed to every man, as the Lord has called everyone, let him walk in that. Don't try to be somebody else. When I was growing up in ministry, there were some famous preachers and other preacher boys, young preacher boys, would try to go and mimic them. Or they'd try to not even mimic them in a bad way. They would go and preach like them. It wasn't even themselves. And they'd be, because this one preacher said this, and they'd be. And here it says, we need to, in other words, bloom where you're planted, as one man put it. We should be satisfied to be where God has put us, to accept what the Lord has assigned for us, and to be faithful in whatever condition God has called us. We don't know what it looks like on this other side for Brendan and myself. But we need to be content with that. Is God enough for us? With you? You don't know for sure, but it seems like, you know, you have a candidate coming. And you need to be content. Because that's where God's put you with a new pastor now. And he's the one that you love. That doesn't mean you can stop loving us, because we're surely not going to stop loving you. That's what's so great about love. If you have 550 kids, you love them all the same. What, isn't that great? Because God is love, and God loves all of us the same. You have another one. You can love somebody else. You have somebody else. You can love somebody else. Then I'll love somebody else. And so you need to be content. This is now what God's placed you in, with a new man that wants to love you and teach you the Word of God and try to exemplify that in his life and family as he strives to love you and you love him. That's why when you really love someone, you give them a break. Remember, the Bible says love covers a what? Multitude of sins. The man that's coming is not going to be perfect, just as your depraved pastor right here isn't. And we've got to realize that you need to be content. Bloom where you're planted. You see, the problem is usually within us, not around us. The heart of every problem is the problem in the heart. And so he's saying here simply that we need to bloom where we're planted. Be satisfied, be content with what we have, knowing that God's enough, and be excited about what God has for you. Be content with that. And that you might grow in that grace and that knowledge continually. Well, then, what is the next? The next one is we walk in faith. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for you walk by faith. Notice every one of these. You don't have to interpret anything here. Every one, we have the word walk in. It's telling you what your behavior should be. Remember what we said walk is? What your behavior is. And we're talking about how to walk worthy, the vocation you're called, your position that you're at for that kingdom of God. And so we need to put these things on this side to level that out of what we already are. In other words, when you're saved, they're already there. These things need to be there. If they're not there, then it becomes unlevel. And so we walk by faith and not by sight. This suggests to be home at the body. Home in the body means that God is not accessible to our sight. The verse explains how believers can have fellowship with and serve the invisible God in this life, because confidence is grounded in the truth of Scripture, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So to walk by faith is not to walk by appearance. When God was working in our lives and as in this next phase of our life, this is one of the things that God so brought to my heart and life as far as thinking about. Walking, we are walking by faith genuinely now and not by sight. He has thrusted us to a place, and he has brought, by doing that, he has brought different things to the forefront to help us make that decision more vividly. This has happened, and then this has happened. As you walk by faith and not by sight, God then supplies those things, guess what? That you can see. But that wouldn't be the faith. The faith came before that, as you believe in that. And so Paul does not look at the things seen, but at those that are not seen. Think of that. Paul says we walk by faith, not looks at the things that are seen, but faith looks at the things that aren't seen. That gripped me in a way when I was looking at that and reviewing and different things. I thought, yeah, I need to be looking at the things that aren't seen. Well, how can you do that? Just like what we're doing. Look at the things not seen. And live by faith. Because that's what pleased God. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. And so we need to walk in faith. Eye has not seen, nor ear has not heard, which have not entered into the human heart. They are the things that God has prepared for those who love him, which transcends all human reasoning, thought, and estimation. They're already heard and received. They're just not seen. God's already done it. They're just not seen. And so we walk by faith and not by sight. Next, we see walking in good works. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in him." And in Colossians 1:10, "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God." In other words, these good works are a divine preparation. They are the same time a human responsibility. God's prepared us. He's given us that which is on that side. On the other side, that's who we are. And so we need to bear fruit and walk in good works at the same time. The same thing. Because we are his workmanship. And so we're created unto good works. He's made a radical change in us. And so we are unto his works. And it's ordained. Notice it says God hath before ordained. And that every believer is ordained to walk this way, to walk worthy of the Lord, making sure that the scales are equaled. And so we walk in good works. Then we walk in dissimilarity. In other words, another word might be difference. There's things that differ. In other words, as we walk by the fruit of the Spirit, which are acts of worship, as far as doing good works, doing good to the bodies and souls of men, and then you have virtues of truthfulness, controlling your tongue, purity. We then walk in dissimilarity, a difference. And notice what it says here. "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth," here's the word walk again, but here it says walk what? "Not as other Gentiles walk." You need to be different than the world around you. "Not walk as Gentile walk in the vanity of their mind." Everything's about them. Everything's vain. If you don't think so, turn on the television. If you don't think so, look at a billboard. Listen to the news. Everything. And he simply tells us that you henceforth walk not as the unsaved world around you. You need to be different. People need to say, there's something different about that person. And then in 2 Corinthians 10, 2 and 3, it says, "Which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." In other words, not like the world, not self-centered, but Christ-centered. Not shameless to sin, but sensitive to sin. We're from not from a reprobate mind, but to a new mind. And not of the world, but in the world. For we don't have to walk in the flesh. And then next we walk in separation. Notice what it says in 2 Thessalonians 3:6. "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh that walketh disorderly and not after traditions which he received of us." In other words, keep away from that. Deed may achieve what words cannot. In other words, you can say a lot of things, but your deed will be, "Hey, I can't do that. I differ. But now I got to separate from that." If there's a brother that is walking disorderly, not living for God, he's saying you need to separate from that. If they're not walking after tradition which you received of us, what's he saying? He's not walking after the Word of God, of the teachings of what of Scripture gives us. That they're disobedient so that you might cause them to be ashamed, that they might come back. That doesn't mean you're not friendly, but you need to separate from, keep away from. Practice to withdraw themselves. The present tense, the word actually means to draw or shrink back from. Okay, it doesn't say treat him as an infidel, though. It doesn't treat him as an unbeliever. You treat him as a brother. But you can't be learning his, because it's going to be a snare to your soul. You're around that much, you're going to be a snare to your soul. "He that walketh the wise man shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Proverbs 13:20. And so we realize that wonderful truth. We need to walk in separation. Then we need to walk in love. Of course, we've been hitting this left and right and forward and backwards. Ephesians 5:2 says, "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior." Those who imitate God are those who walk in love. You walk in love as Christ also have loved us. You walk in love, you imitate Christ, you walk in love. And we see the wonderful truth. We are to love as Christ loves and also because Christ loves. And that's a great statement. We are to love as Christ loves. One commentary I read it. We are to love as Christ loves and also because Christ loves. He gave himself for us. So then we walk in love, then we walk in light. "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." You didn't realize there's so many things we're to walk worthy of, did you? This is what's on the other side. This is who Christ is. This is your position in Christ, and this is what needs to be that level, balanced out. On one side of the scale, the same as the other. This is who we are. If we're not living this way, it's being unbalanced. You're not walking worthily to God. That means you're not pleasing him, it says in Colossians. So here it says to walk in light. "For you're sometimes darkness, but are you light in the Lord? Walk as children of light." If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. In other words, when you are a believer in Christ, no longer are you a children of wrath. You're not one of disobedience. You're not the sons of disobedience, but you're children of light. Jesus Christ says, "I am the light of the world." That's who he is. That's that position. That's what's on one side of the scale. That's what needs to be on the other. So in other words, let them in their daily life be and constantly remain true to what is a principle that they become. That the true knowledge of God and of his will be your standard constantly. It's God's standard will be your standard. And we see that wonderful truth. And then it says, walk in wisdom. Ephesians 5:15 says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time." That word redeeming the time, I put it this way, seizing the opportunity for Christ. As you walk, you need to show wisdom by seizing the opportunity for Christ. Wisdom is the ability to apply truth to your everyday situation according to the will of God by his word, by means of his word. And that you walk circumspectly is you walk carefully. In other words, you make every opportunity to the reason for your careful walk because the days are evil. Our testimony toward the unsaved should be seen by our character and our countenance, our joy, our compassion, our conversation, our time seizing the opportunity for Christ. Here's a good illustration. I want you to listen to it now. Suppose that a wealthy man were to give someone $1,440 a day to spend. Okay, let's say a wealthy man comes. Let's pick on Gary, since he's a good one to pick on. All right? Let's say that a wealthy man comes in here and gives Gary $1,440 a day, and he tells him, "You can spend this any way you want. You can spend it. It's yours. But the catch is, you've got to spend it today. If you have any left over, it's gone. You can't save it up." Or you don't, and then the opposite way. You don't do it all, then you've wasted. You've done it all. And so, as you see that, there's the whole manner of the gift. In other words, in this gift, it did not allow Gary to save it, still less to hoard it. So at the end of each day, what was not spent by Gary was what? Lost. He was given $1,440 a day. He didn't spend it. No, I know Gary, he would do it. He'd spend it. All right. But he didn't do it. It's lost. He was given that. The same son would arrive every day and until the end of Gary's life. Then an accounting would be made of what the recipient had done with the sum. There it was, $1,440 a day to spend or squander, to be used buying things for oneself or helping others, to be wasted or trifles or invested for eternity. Every day God gives us 1,440 minutes to be spent by us and us alone. Did you know that? Every day we have 1,440 minutes to spend for Christ. What we don't use, we've wasted. This is a dramatic pause. Think of that. So how much of that 1,440 did you do today, spend today? By putting those walking in wisdom, making sure the scales are even. You see, we have none of yesterday's time left over for today. All of these precious minutes are ours. However, when life is over, there will be a strict counting of what we've done with that time. And then lastly, we walk in truth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified the truth that is in thee. Even thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. We need to walk in truth and in the word of God. And we'll be saying more about that next week. So as we look at that, those are the specifics. Now, look at the standard of our walk. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have for us an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. They're not walking for Christ. But he says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them that walk so as to have for us an example. What's he saying? They have us for an example. And so what's the standard of our walk? It's to walk like Paul. He's saying, okay, as I am of Christ, you walk like me. The standard of our walk, 1 John 2:6. He that saith he abideth in him ought him also so to walk, even as who walked? Jesus walked, 1 John 2:6. And in Colossians 2:6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. So what's our standard? Live like Paul, according to his word and the epistles that we have. What's our real standard? Live like Christ. Remember, that's our position. To be worthy of Christ, we're there, and we need to walk. Our conduct needs to be these things we just mentioned in Scripture. They're imperative for us to walk that way. And so we see that our sufficiency of that walk in 2 Corinthians 6:16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Notice it says that I will dwell in them. Notice it says, you walk by means of the Spirit. Now it says, by the Spirit of God, I will dwell in them. So the Spirit of God's in you. God's in you. We've come full circle, haven't we? Because I dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. God has said in them. God's dwelling in the believer. God's walking in the believer. And so it says, be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Christ will walk in you, which takes us this full circle. So stay in step with Christ, who is in you, which means it's possible for you to walk worthy unto all pleasing. You see why it's possible? Everything that we've said, you're a new creature. You're radically changed. You're in Christ by means of the Holy Spirit. You are enabled to walk this way because that's who Christ is, and that's who you are because he took your place, and he's declared you righteous. And so we need to display that by being filled with the Spirit. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And this is love, that ye walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. So what is, as you walk worthy, pleasing God, what's on the other side? You need to be walking that which you already have. You need to be doing it. And that's being filled, be controlled by the means of the Spirit. And you're enabled to do it because it comes full circle. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Because God is in you, Jesus Christ, walking in you. So you can do it. So you do have that. Because this is the commandment that you've heard from the giving, that you should walk in it. So, in conclusion, God's word must continue to control your thought pattern in order for you to walk by means of the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We are to walk worthy of the Lord. Walk worthy of the Lord. And so our thought pattern by means of the Spirit must be what's on the other side of that scale. That's Christ. And you can't say, no, I can't do that. No, you're dead to sin, so Christ is in you. You can walk as he walked. God hasn't asked you to do something that you can't do by means of the Spirit. You can't do it if you don't have the Spirit of God in you. And if you don't let the Spirit of God control you as being filled, you cannot do these things as a believer. You're just not being what you are. You're just not being what you are. Which, as you think of it, that's worth yet. You know, what does it say? You do you. Well, if you do you, you'll walk worthy of the Lord. So may I say to you and those listening or watching online, you do you by walking worthy of the Lord, because that's who you are as a believer in Christ. And he says, this is how you walk. Let me challenge you to take some of these verses and look at them again, that it might continue to work out that radical change that God's sanctifying, setting you apart for. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for letting us walk like you.